Hello and welcome to the Headache Doctor Podcast. I'm Dr. Taves and this is Dr. Storzbach. And we today are excited to help you all understand where these light sensitivities and photophobias come from. This is the second part to our two-part series on vision and all things within our visual system that can impact headaches and migraines. So Dr. Storzbach, let's start off with just talking about what photophobia is, what light sensitivity is.
Yeah, so it's exactly that, light sensitivity, meaning you are more sensitive to light coming in. You have an increase in migraine symptoms with certain types of light.
Yeah, and this is a common problem with the patients we see here. Do we have a percentage of migraine sufferers that have this?
Yeah, the research shows there's about 80% of migraine sufferers actually have this.
Yeah, so this is a very common problem with headache and migraine sufferers. Mm-hmm. Actually, in our clinic, when I was setting up Novera, I was very intentional to think, okay, what does the overhead light look like? Are there big windows that we can close the blinds? Just because we do have patients that come in commonly with photophobias, the light sensitivity. And that can be a trigger, that can be an irritant, but especially if you're in the middle of a migraine, oftentimes patients say they just want to sit in a dark room, no noise, no sound. So let's talk about what some of these studies have shown, because there is actually some really interesting stuff about the color of light and how that impacts our sensitivity level. So talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, so back in 2010, there was an initial study that just showed that blue light specifically exacerbated migraine symptoms. So I feel like that kind of prompted more study on this specific light and colors. So in 2015, Harvard actually did a study of 69 patients, all age ranges between 15 and 85. They all met the criteria for that ICHD diagnosis, specifically for migraine with or without aura. They also had to have at least five or more migraines a month. So those were kind of the cohort of what they were looking at. The people that were excluded were actually people that had any ocular disease or color blindness. And that's something I want to talk about later is color blindness. But basically, they had these patients just record their baseline intensity and location of their pain. They had to go in a dark room for 3 minutes. And then after that, they were exposed to a series of flashes of different colors of light. And they were always in the same order. The first order was white light, and they would get a 9 second or 1 second flash 9 times in a row. And then that white light would move to blue light, and then to green, and then to amber, and lastly to red. And so with that, they recorded that every single color except for green exacerbated the patient's migraine symptoms. And what they found was that green actually was the only color that decreased their symptoms, which I think they were very surprised about.
Yeah, this is kind of a really interesting finding because I guess you wouldn't think to try different colors of lights. And but yeah, I mean, blue light, green light, I personally have only experienced, white light, but right. Where do we sort of interact with these lights on a daily basis? How do we get exposed to these?
Well, yeah, blue light comes from our computer screens, our TV screens, and our phones. So as you can see in our modern world, we're constantly kind of bombarded with blue light now.
Yeah, yeah. And again, if we look at what the last year and a half has done to a lot of us, it's caused us to stay home and we're on our screens. And so this screen time is having an impact on us, and that could potentially be the blue lights within the screens. Mm-hmm. And there are other impacts to that. So last episode, we talked about this convergence insufficiency. And so the blue light from the screen has an impact, but it's also looking at the screen and just that object being close to your face and forcing your eyes to converge and focus on that. I think we have a few other studies here. What else have we found in regards to light?
So what's interesting is currently there's still a study out that I think you can enroll in if you're interested, going on by the NIH, that they're specifically studying the analgesic or the pain relieving mechanism of green light, and how they have shown in other studies that green light increased endogenous opioids, or just our natural painkillers in our body, are released potentially with green light. They've done a lot of studies on rats that show this. They've specifically covered the rat's eyes. And when the rat's eyes were blocked, all the analgesic effect was also blocked. But then when they exposed them to green light, they had better pain relief.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty amazing. Mm-hmm. So if your rat has headaches, then green light is good for the rat.
Right.
this is actually pretty exciting. Again, when I was setting up the clinic, I got one of those smart bulbs so that if needed, I could have a green light in the room because I knew that green lights were actually therapeutic. But we think of this opioid crisis in the U.S., and this is actually a way to naturally get that pain relieving property in the opioids, mm-hmm. Which is really pretty cool.
Yeah, one of the studies was really excited at the end of it, kind of concluded that at minimum there was no negative side effects with this green light therapy, which obviously for most other therapies and medications they can't claim, and so it's quite exciting.
All right, so we know that green light can be helpful. How do we implement that? What do we do with that? Do we just walk around with like green lights in our house? Do we put green bulbs in?
Yeah.
Do we have green suits that glow? Yeah.
Exactly. So actually for this to work, you can't just have like one light bulb in the room. You would have to be in a room with no other light source, meaning you'd have to close the windows or close the doors, turn off all other light sources, and then turn on this type of green LED light. One of the research, how they set it up was the patients, I believe, did 1 to 2 hours a day for 10 weeks. And then those are the people that saw at least, 60% of participants had a decrease in frequency, and 50% had a decrease in their intensity.
Yeah. So for those of you who are used to going into a dark room when you have your migraine, what might actually be a better idea, or if you can tolerate it, have the room dark, but have a green light. And maybe you can read a book or, get something productive done rather than just having that time sort of wasted. But if it still is like you're sensitive to lights and sounds, or you're just in excruciating pain, potentially just having a green light on in the room can be a little therapeutic or allow you to open your eyes. We like to have a lot of our patients doing these certain sort of like stretches or sort of therapeutic positions that they're in. And having a green light may be more sort of desensitizing to the visual system while you're in the middle of that migraine, doing whatever stretch we talked about, that type of thing. Mm-hmm. So that's good. So 1 to 2 hours a day, mm-hmm. Having exposure to this green light. So let's sort of transition to color blindness. And this is something, Dr. Storzbeck, that you actually deal with, right?
Yeah. So I'm one of the few females that got very lucky with this gene, and I am colorblind, along with my sisters also, and my father was, and then also my on my mom's side, her grandpa was. So that's kind of how we all got lucky with this.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, great. Yeah. So so tell us. I mean, I'm just I didn't really know a lot about colorblindness, so mm-hmm. just explain to the listeners what you explained to me about what your world looks like.
Yeah. So a lot of people hear color blindness and they think like, oh, maybe you just don't see color at all. Maybe it's in black and white. That is not true. Majority of color blindness is like a red green color blind, where red and green look similar. A lot of things can seem a little more muted. So we actually have a picture up here that I think we'll put on our blog post that shows the difference, like two pictures side by side of what I see and what you see. The two pictures look identical to me, but you will notice how different they are.
Yeah. So when we have our blog post up, you can test to see if you're colorblind.
Yeah.
And if you are, I apologize if this is the first time you're realizing that. But yeah, well, what does this have to do with headaches or migraines?
Yeah, so I just think it's super interesting because we just talked all about that green therapy light. And my first thought is like, well, what if you can't see the color green very well because you're colorblind? So I started to dive into more research. And in a 2015 study in Israel, they had hundreds of teenage boys, all who had this colored vision deficiency. And they had a 32% increase in the prevalence of their migraines, which I thought was quite interesting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we see nothing really as far as take home here, but I just love that you like connected this with, what about for people that have color blindness? So
yeah.
All right, and then the final sort of topic that we want to hit on is these blue light blocker glasses. They're very popular. You see them all over the place. My wife last year bought some because she liked how they looked, and then she justified it by saying she looks at a screen as a nurse, and so that was fine. I think what we want to do is answer a few questions. One is, you know, what is there any research behind these? What should we actually be able to say that they do? And then two, if there is something behind them, how do we use them? What's the application for it? Should you go buy some, that type of stuff? So what's kind of out there? What did we find when we researched this?
Yeah, so there's lots of different options out there now. What's neat is I feel like years ago when this first came out, almost all blue blocker glasses were like yellow tinted. And so obviously that's a little bit more of a statement if you'd like to make that. But some people just want it clear, and they have figured out a way to make a clear lens that still blocks out the blue light. You know, you can do it just a clip on over your glasses, or you can just have the glasses themselves.
Yeah, and actually with the past year and a half, with a lot of us staying indoors and looking at our computer screens, we've been much more aware of maybe headaches or eye strain. And so the blue light blocker glasses industry has actually seen an increase in sales. And so this sort of industry is really growing in popularity. A couple of things that I found were that there was a few studies that were done that compared the blue light glasses to just regular lenses or clear, and they would have patients or they would have the participants look at a screen, and then they would gauge their symptoms. Did they increase, decrease? And so the blue light glass sample compared to just the regular clear glasses, there was no significant difference, and they did two different studies. And so a lot of the research as far as like is it having an impact on the symptoms, we can't necessarily say that there's good data behind that. But what we know in healthcare is that even this sort of anecdotal, if someone wears them and finds relief or feels like it's less strain through their eyes or their symptoms reduce a little bit, then things like blue light glasses can really be helpful because it's simple. There's no side effects. There's what we call the placebo effect. And there's actually a lot of things within healthcare that are placebo effects that you may not realize. And sometimes those placebo effects have harmful side effects to them, but something like wearing glasses might potentially be worth a shot just to see if they help you, because anecdotally there's even optometrists that say they might help and that sort of thing. And then we also found it has some impact on like sleeping and that sort of thing. So talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, specifically kind of on that circadian rhythm, right? So when we are supposed to wake up and feel tired enough to go to sleep throughout the day, if you do or have a lot of input from blue light, you know, within even a couple hours of going to bed, that can really spike the brain waves, make the amplitude of the brain waves higher, therefore makes it harder to go to sleep. So, you know, and I'm sure everyone has heard it over and over again, but there's lots of good research to show that you shouldn't look at a screen, you know, within a couple hours before falling asleep, or at minimum, it sounds like now maybe trying those blue light blockers while you're doing that activity.
Yeah. I personally am not a fan of like enabling maybe bad behaviors.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, if you are someone that finds yourself productive at night and you're just like on the computer getting work done, maybe try the blue light glasses so that, you know, potentially you can fall asleep easier because that blue light can be a little harsh, increase the brain activity, make it harder to fall asleep. And or the other approach is just to sort of cut out the screen time before bed. And either option can be helpful, especially if you're someone that sees an increase in your headaches or your headache or migraine symptoms into the evening. The other side note on that is oftentimes when patients are watching TV or looking at, you know, an iPad or a phone at night, they're either in bed or on the couch or something, and they're in kind of a weird position.
Yeah.
So not only do we have this screen close to our face and we have blue light, but we also have this sort of funky positioning, and our neck usually is not very happy with us when we're have our head propped up or to the side or rotated. And so if you are someone that struggles with this sort of evening headache, or maybe even you wake up with a headache, pay attention to what your evening routine looks like, and maybe make some changes there. And over time, you might see some benefit to that.
Yeah, I would really recommend, it's so easy to get into that habit of like nighttime TV time. But I really think as a migraine sufferer, one of the best things you can do is go outside for a walk. And then maybe you get into bed with a book and with your green light on, and that's kind of how you end your evening. I have a feeling it'd be a little more relaxing than your general routine.
Yeah. Yeah. So to sum this all up, blue light glasses, I wouldn't spend a fortune there, but it's something that I would say anecdotally, use at night, because you'll probably find more of an impact there, especially if you find yourself consistently or having to look at a screen, a laptop, or a phone. During the day, there's sort of mixed feelings there, but again, worth a shot. Just, you know, evaluate for yourself if you think it helps. It is an industry that's growing, so I'm sure maybe we'll see some data actually come out behind these. And then as far as green light, like pay attention to your light sensitivity and maybe implement that 1 to 2 hours a day of having green light in a room and see what that does, especially if you're someone that finds yourself in a dark room anyways. Buy yourself a smart bulb or it was an LED, was mm-hmm. it? Yeah.
Yeah.
So an LED green specific light and see what that does. And as always, if you are someone with headaches and migraines that has found our podcast or our resources helpful, reach out to us because there's a whole lot more that we can do for you. I hope you found this podcast episode helpful and the last one helpful. It's our two-part series on vision and how vision can impact headaches and migraines. And if you guys appreciate what we're doing, I want you to help us spread the word because we're really in this sort of battle with the pharmaceutical companies and the system that sort of leads people down this road of medications. Because again, we want people to break free from that and have hope that there's an underlying answer. And so if you want to help us out, I want you to write a review, review our podcast and tell others about it. If you reach out to us personally, we'd love to help you and then you can have a more of a personal interaction with us. And or just send us an email and say, hey, I appreciate what you guys are doing. But we definitely appreciate you. We have the best patients in the world. And literally, we have people from all over the world that are reaching out. So this is a huge problem. And we appreciate you guys listening. I'm Dr. Taves.
And I'm Dr. Storsbach.
And it's our mission to empower everyone with headaches and migraines to break free from a life of fear and dependence and thrive in everything you do. We'll see you next time.